Hey, it's great to be here. I'm glad to be back at, or as you guys would say, it's great to be here. You guys don't pronounce your R's. Have you noticed that? And here's how you pronounce an R. R. Not ah. R. So let's all say it together. Ready? Here.
Here.
You still say it like here. What's that? That's it. Hey, listen, if you ever get a chance to come to the States, and I mean this, I'm totally serious about this, I want you to come visit me. Come to D.C. You can stay at my house. We've got plenty of room, and I would love for you to come. So talk to you, talk to your youth pastor or talk to your family, whatever, when you make a visit. We'd love to have you come be a part of Faith Baptist Church, take you around, show you stuff. We're not really near the stuff that you probably want to see, like Disney World. Although my sons live right down by Disney World, live right there, so we can get you down there. We're about 4 or 5 hours from New York City, so that's kind of cool. Washington, D.C. is kind of cool, but we'd love to have you come and be a part of the how many have been to the States? Anybody? Okay, a couple of you guys? Just four of you? How many have never been to the States? Now, I want you to come. You would really, really enjoy it. It's not like every third person murders somebody in the States, okay? That's not true. I was in Rockhampton years ago preaching at a youth meeting, like I'm talking about maybe 15 years ago. And this one girl, Savannah, I met her. I said, Savannah, have you ever been to the United States? She goes, oh, no. I said, why not? She goes, they kill every third person there dies. I'm literally standing there with my family. I'm like, one, two, three, I guess you're dead, you know? So it's really not that bad, but we'd love to have you come. What else I want to tell you? That's one thing. So this whole thing, maroon and blue.
Go Queensland!
Yeah!
What's your name? She knows Queensland, but she doesn't know her name. Go Queensland! What's your name?
Gok.
What?
Gok.
Gok? That might be the coolest name I've ever heard in my life. That is awesome. Gok. And she, anybody here that cheers for the blue? Anybody here? Oh, Vicky. And Reese. Of course, Reese, we can't trust you, but we're glad that you're for blue. Come on in, girls. Front row. That's what happens. When you show up late at a Baptist church, you get a front row seat. That's the way that works. Hey, I want you to open your Bibles, guys. I want to talk to you about hiding places. Hiding places. I want to walk through three passages of Scripture, and I think this is going to help you. One of the scariest things that ever happened to me at teen camp. How many have ever been to teen camp? Been to, what do they call it here? Youth camp? Youth camp? Yeah. So do you do youth camp in Australia, like out in the woods? Like kind of, sort of? Yeah. Okay, so what's that? You don't have woods? Yes, you do have woods. Trust me. You have, is that what they call it? You don't call it wood? You don't call it woods? Okay. Woods. Bush. Do you have camp in the bush? Okay. That's what I wanted to know. So let me tell you about a camp that I went to in the bush. So we went to this camp in this state in the United States called New Hampshire, which is a very small state, and it has a lot of trees. So we went to this camp, and we had no games to play because this camp was in the middle of nowhere. There was no gym. There was no gymnasium. There was no swimming pool. There was no anything. It was just trees and nothingness. So we had to come up with all our own games. And we were really struggling. Like, what games do you play with? We had like 70 teenagers. What games do you play with 70 teenagers when you have no games to play? So we came up with this one game. There was an electric fence. Do they have electric fences in Australia? Yeah. So there was an electric fence. So here was the game, ready? Who can hold on to the electric fence the longest? So like literally, you know, it's like, eat, eat. We had this one kid, his name is Louis Perillo. I think the guy was like vaccinated against electricity, okay? Because he could grab the electric fence like this and just hold on as long as you want to. Now his brain fried, and I think it was fried before he did it, but so he won the electric fence contest. So we're like, okay, well, that was one game. What other game can we play? So we came up with this game called, well, it wasn't called this, but it really was this game. It was just the old-fashioned game of hide-and-go-seek. Do you play that? And it's okay. And Bet's a little kid's game. So we had to come up with a new name for it. We couldn't call it hide-and-go-seek because no one's going to want to play it. You'd be like 8 years old to want to play that game. So I said, what would be a good name to give hide-and-go-seek that would make teenagers want to play it? So we came up with the name Capture the Camper. Capture the Camper. And so here it was. The way we played was we had 20 adults and we had like 70 teenagers. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put the 20 adults in a room. And the room was kind of like this, about this size. And we're going to come in this room for 20 minutes. We're going to set the timer. This is in the middle of the night. It's totally dark outside. And there's these woods. And like 2 acres. I don't know how much that would be in hectares, but it was a big, big area. And it was all woods, all bush. And so you can go out and hide anywhere you want, 20 minutes, and then we will have 20 minutes after the timer to go find you. Whoever is not found after 20 minutes, you win. If we find you, you lose. So easy enough, right? So these kids were like, yeah, you know, they're into it. We're going to go hide. Well, all the girls, I shouldn't say all the girls, most of the girls, most of the junior high girls, like grade 7, grade 8, they were scared to death because it's pitch black, it's woods, there's lions and tigers and bears and snakes and spiders and everything else. And so they're all freaked out. Like, so here's what happened. We gave them the 20 minutes to hide, and like literally a group of like 20 girls, you know, they went and hid under one tree because they wanted to be found. They were scared. But we had about 50 teenagers that legitimately tried to find a good place to hide. And they were good. I mean, they found some great hiding places. Like this one kid, Jeremiah, we called him Jeremy. He actually went down to the river. Now, it's freezing cold outside. It's like 11 o'clock at night. It's cold. But this guy gets in the river, in the water with the straw, like this. We actually found him. We just followed the gurgling sound, you know, like, where's the bubble? Oh, there's a kid there. You know? But he did a good job. So that night, we found almost every one of the campers. We found almost every one of them, except for like maybe 5 or 6. And so we felt like as counselors that we won, because we caught so many of them. They felt like campers that they won because 6 of them could not be found. So we decided to have a rematch the next night. And the next night we decided this is gonna be Capture the Counselor. So all the teenagers, 70 teenagers, were in this room, and 20 counselors, we went out to hide that night. And I mean, we were very, very competitive. So we went out, we found a great hiding place. For instance, this counselor named Troy and I, we actually dug a hole in the ground. We dug a hole in the ground, and then we laid down in the hole. Some would call that a grave, okay? We laid down in that hole. We put sticks over us, and literally, campers were like just walking over our hole that night, never found us. So of the 20 counselors, almost all of us were not found. So we were like, the winners, you know, we rubbed it in their face all week. It was great. So then every year, that became the game. That was the big game. Capture the Camper, Capture the Counselor. That was a huge game. Every year, people are coming out with great hiding places. I mean, one year, these two counselors, they hid in a barn underneath the pigs. Not recommended. Not recommended, okay? They did win, or did they win? But anyway, so that was all said and done. Now I start pastoring in a place 1,500 kilometers away. So I don't even live near this place anymore. I'm never going to go back to this camp. But I tell this story to our teenagers. And our teenagers at our new church are like, we want to go. We want to go to that camp. I said, guys, there's nothing at that camp. It's a horrible camp. Yeah, we want to play that game. You know, so I said, okay, we'll go. So we got on the bus, and we took about 70 teenagers in our youth group to go to this camp. Well, at the last minute, At the last minute, there was another church near us that didn't have a place to go to camp that summer. And he was a pastor friend of mine. His name was Pastor Ross. And he called me and he said, hey, Pastor Skelly, where are you guys going to camp? I said, well, we're going to this camp out in New Hampshire, but there's not much to it. He goes, I want to go with you. I said, oh, okay. I said, how many teenagers do you have? Oh, about 15 or 20. Great, take them. So we went to that camp, our teenagers. We had about maybe 60 or 70 teens. And his teenagers, he had about 15 teens. But he had one teenager. He had one teenager, grade 7. Now, I don't know if it's like this in Australia, okay? But in the States, the guys that are in grade 7, I don't even know if they're human beings, okay, to be honest with you, okay? It's like, I don't know what it is. Like, in grade 6, their voice was like a soprano voice. You know, they could sing in the ladies' choir, okay? In grade 8, their voice goes all the way down like it's a bass. Like, what happened to this kid? His shoe size is like size 15 now. But in grade 7, he's neither a soprano or a bass. His voice is just kind of stuck in the middle. It doesn't even sound human. It sounds like if you ever play an old radio and you're between radio stations and it's like, ah. Add words, that's what a 7th grade boy's voice sounds like. So anyway, there's this kid in Pastor Ross's youth group whose name is Bobby. And Bobby, you know, he's got this face that's like really, really small. But he's got these teeth that are really, really big. They don't really fit. So he kind of looks like a, I don't know if they have this animal in Australia, but in the States, we have this animal called, it looks like a possum or like a beaver. These big teeth, you know? So it's like, that's why he looked like that. And he talked like this. Pastor Skelly, Pastor, shut up, Bobby, okay? I mean, be quiet, in Jesus' name, right? So, and this kid, I'm telling you, he was the kid at youth camp that never took a shower. You know, he wore the same clothes the entire week. Like, he would sit in chapel, and then, like, all the seats around him would be empty. Why? Because he stunk. That's why. And like he'd so annoying. All he'd do is drink Mountain Dew, Mountain Dew, Mountain Dew, Mountain Dew, all week long. And then when the preacher would preach, he'd fall asleep. It's like, what's going on, Bobby? You know? So all week long, like, how are we gonna reach Bobby? Well, that one night, I got up to say, hey guys, we're gonna play this game tomorrow night called Capture the Counselor. So I'm explaining it, the game I just told you about. And I said, now guys, I've done this game multiple times. Nobody has ever been able to find me, and you are not gonna be the first. You are not gonna find me. Well, when I said that, it was almost like I lit a little stick of dynamite off in his brain. Because all of a sudden, it's like, Bobby's like, ha ha ha. Pastor Skelly, I am. I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you. I'm thinking, this kid can't find a bar of deodorant. He's not going to find me. You know, what in the world? You know, go find a toothbrush. So he is on this. I mean, he's like, I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you. I mean, it's getting annoying. So the next day, the day of the night that I'm going to go out and hide that night, that day, I'm sitting with our camp speaker, our special speaker. We're just talking. All the teenagers are supposed to be in one place playing a game, but Bobby's there. Like, Bobby is like, he's there. He's like a bad disease. He's like the coronavirus. He's right there. And he's like saying, you know, Pastor Skelly, Pastor Skelly, Pastor Skelly, Pastor Skelly, Pastor Skelly, I'm going to find you. Have you ever said something in your life that you knew when you said it, it was really, really stupid that you said it, okay? Okay? Well, that was one moment for me, okay? Because here's what I said, Gok. He said, Pastor Skelly, Pastor, and I said, just to get him off my nerves, I said, Bobby, listen, you are not gonna find me. And I'll tell you what, Bobby, if you find me, I give you permission to shave my head. Oh my. It was like I gave him steroids. It was, I mean, it was unbelievable. All of a sudden, he goes, Pastor Skelly, I am going to find you now. And when I do, I'm going to shave your head. Oh, man, I started being, whoo. What have I said? What have I done? What have I created? Right? So I thought, there's no way I'm going to let him find me. So we sent Bobby up to the group, and I said to my friend, his name is Joe, the camp speaker, I said, Joe, we got to find a place for me to hide. We got to find a good place. So here's what we did. We went all the way down to the corner of the property. Now, it's bright light out. It's the middle of the day, so you can see fine. And I said, I'm going to climb this tree right here. I mean, this tree was full of leaves. I mean, there's no way. So I climb this tree, I climb this tree, I climb this tree. I get all the way to the very, very top of this tree, and I'm holding on to the top of the tree, and I'm just kind of swaying back and forth. And I yell down, I said, can you see me? He's looking up, he goes, no, I can't see you. I said, well, this is great. I mean, if he can't see me in daylight, then there's no way when I come to this tree tonight in the middle of the night that Bobby is ever going to see me here. I mean, I'm good. I was feeling much, much better. I found the perfect hiding place. That was it. So that night we had our service, camp service. It was a great service. Bobby wasn't listening. Bobby wasn't listening. He was just, I mean, have you ever been just sitting there minding your own business and you feel like someone's looking at you? That was what happened that night. I'm sitting here. Here's the camp speaker. I'm just sitting here listening to the camp speaker and, preaching. I can feel somebody looking at me. I look around and there's Bobby. Gonna find you. Like, what is going on? So the service is over. It's time for us to hide. So we put all the teenagers in that one room. And listen, I am ready. Like, I have black sweatpants. I have a black hoodie. I use another guy's black gym shorts to put over my head. Not a good decision. Not a good decision. But man, I am playing for keeps, right? I have black Nike sneakers that have a white swoosh on them. I take black electrical tape and put it over the swoosh. That's not really a bad thing, okay? And so I'm thinking, I am like totally ninja mode. I mean, I am ready. So we have all the teens in the room. So I'm like, we do the stopwatch, 20 minutes. We have 20 minutes to hide. I run out of that room, man. I am chugging it down. I'm going down. There's the tree. There it is right there. I'm going down to this tree, and I get to the tree. I shimmy up the tree. I get to the top, and it's cool. Night air, it's totally black, and I'm like, I'm good. I mean, he has 20 minutes. This kid can't find anything in 20 minutes. He's never gonna find me. This is a huge area. I have the perfect hiding place. The perfect hiding place. Well, I mean, after 20 minutes, the horn sounds, the air horn. Now they have 20 minutes. 20 minutes to go look. When 20 minutes are over, you'll hear the air horn again, and it'll be the end of the game. So all I have to do is sit in this tree for 20 minutes. That's it. I'm good. So the horn sounds, and here's what I didn't know. All of them have flashlights. So when they come out, I'm looking down. It's totally black. All of a sudden, I can see all these lights. It's kind of like an upside down. Have you ever seen fireflies? Do they have fireflies in Australia? They light up at night. So it's a really, really cool thing. Look it up. Google it. Fireflies. It's really cool. We have them at our house. So it's like I'm looking down. It's like I see all these fireflies. I see all these flashlights. And it's like, wow, this is kind of cool. Well, two of the flashlights come out of the building, and I'm up high. I can see. And they're coming right directly toward me. Like, they're not going that way. They're not going that way. They're not going that way. They're going that way. I mean, and I'm thinking, what's going on? Why would people be going right direct? Then it occurred to me, oh, I know what happened. That evangelist that's preaching wants to see my head shaved. And he told Bobby where I'm hiding. And Bobby's going to come find me, and I'm going to have my head shaved. This is going to be a really bad situation, right? So I'm like, I am so nervous. I'm so nervous. I'm thinking about getting down the tree, hiding somewhere else. I don't know what to do. I'm just frightened. Well, they're coming closer and closer and closer and closer. My heartbeat is going higher and higher and higher and higher. My breathing. Shut up. Here they come. Here they come. And then all of a sudden I hear their voices. And it's not Bobby's voice. It's two girls. And they just decided that they were going to start searching at that corner of the property. And they're shining their flashlights all around. And they shine their flashlight up into the tree. But they can't see me. Even with the flashlights, there's so many leaves. And I'm thinking, this is the perfect hiding place. Even when they shine flashlights, they can't. I mean, I wanted to say, yeah, but I wasn't going to give away my position. So I'm just there like, this is great. I relax. I'm calm. I only got 18 minutes to go. This is amazing. And then, off in the distance, just faintly, wafting on the cool evening air, I could hear the now distinct and rather irritating sound of Bobby's voice. Pastor Skelly, where are you? I'm gonna find you, Pastor Skelly. When I do, I'm going to shave your head. Oh, man, I started to get the heebie-jeebies. I don't even know what the heebie-jeebies are, but I'm getting them. I'm thinking, what's going on? So I begin to scan the ground, see all the flashlights, and I notice one flashlight behaving erratically. All the other flashlights are doing normal things, like... One flashlight is going like the squirrel on Over the Hedge. I'm like, what is going on? So I'm trying to match the voice with the flashlight. You know what I find out? It's Bobby. And he's saying the weirdest things. Pastor Skelly, Pastor Skelly, are you under that pine cone? I'm like, what? Are you under that leaf? Where are you? I'm like, this kid is crazy. This kid, he ought to be put in a lunatic asylum. Well, listen, I'm watching, and the time is going, and the time is going, and the time is going, and all of a sudden, that flashlight starts coming closer and closer to me. Like, I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? It's like time has stood still. Have you ever seen that old movie called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Yeah. Because I'm in that tree and I'm thinking about the child catcher. Remember the guy with the long nose? Children! Remember? Lollipops! Remember that? All free! I'm thinking, oh! I'm like, I can all of a sudden hear my heart pounding. I'm like, stop pounding! Stop pounding! I'm making deals with God. Oh Lord, I will go to be a missionary to China for 5 years, 6 years. Oh God, please! Listen, I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. He got all the way to my tree. He's at the bottom of my tree when I realize, oh, leaves don't grow this way. He's standing on a tree. He shines his flashlight up the tree like this. Now he can see the bottom of my feet, and the bottom of my shoes are all white. I forgot all about it. So he shines up like this. And I'm like, this is it. No more hair. I'm done. The beautiful Skelly locks are gone. And what happens at that exact moment, ready? And the horn sounded. I was saved. My hair was intact. And all God's people said? Amen. No, no. You wanted that story to end differently. You wanted a picture of my head shaved. You know, the funny, that is such a vivid story in my memory. I mean, I've told that story so many different places. It is so vivid in my memory. Matter of fact, I used to tell that story, and I used to tell Bobby's last name. Now, this happened so many years ago. Bobby is in his 40s today. He's like 43 years old, okay? And I would give his last name, and we had people actually getting on Facebook to find Bobby. Did that really happen? He's like, yes. He's still weird. But anyway, you know, it's interesting. We've all, in different ways, shapes, and sizes, we've all played hide and seek. We've played it as children, and listen, we've played it as teens. We've played it for fun, listen, and we've played it with God. And I want to talk to you for just a couple minutes, and I wanted to take time to tell the story and have some fun. It'll be a long conference, and there's nothing wrong with taking a little time like that. But I want to talk to you about hiding places. You know, there are three, and look right up here, guys. There are three really incredible examples in the Bible of people that hid and they never got away with it. And can I just say this? You never get away with it. Hiding never works with God. It never does. So what are the three examples? And if you'll forgive me, I want you to write down the references. Just for sake of time, we're not going to read them all because you know the stories. Okay, but I want you to write them down because obviously the Bible passage is important. But I want you to write down three passages of Scripture, and all three have the same pattern. Ready? Passage number one, write this down. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Okay, I call this the patterns of hiding, the way people hide. How do we hide from God? The way. What's the way that we hide from God? Well, in all three of these passages, watch this, Genesis chapter 3, here's the second one, ready? Joshua chapter 7, so write that down, Genesis chapter 3, Joshua chapter 7, and then write this last one down, ready? 2 Samuel chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12. So Genesis chapter 3, Joshua chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter 12. Okay, in all three of these passages, the same thing happened. Okay, I'm going to give it to you right now. Here's what happened in all three. In all three, somebody saw something. Somebody wanted what they saw. Somebody took what they shouldn't have taken and then hid it. In all three passages. Watch this. I saw, I wanted, I took, I hid. I saw, I wanted, I took, I hid. In all these cases, I saw, I wanted, I took, I hid. You look at Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve. What are you doing, Eve? Oh, this serpent just told me. He saw that it was good to eat. He saw. It was pleasant to one's eyes. Yeah, I want that. I take that, I hide. That's what Adam and Eve did. I saw, I wanted, I took, I hid. I saw, I wanted, I took, I hid. Okay? What happened in Joshua chapter 7? In Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says that God's people went to fight the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and God gave a great victory. But here's what God said. God said, biggest victory, first victory, here's what I want. This won't be the case for every city, but for the first city, here's what I want. Every single thing that you get when you take this city belongs to me. Now, other cities are going to be able to keep stuff, okay? But the first city, everything belongs to me. And that's true in our lives, by the way. The first belongs to God, always. So what happened? They went, they took the city, they went in, and everybody took the things and gave it to God except one guy. Except one guy. We know his name, Achan. And when Achan finally got caught, here's what he said in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21. He said, I saw, I wanted, I took, I hid. I saw, I wanted, I took, I hid. So Adam did that, Genesis 3. Achan did that, Joshua chapter number 7. What about 2 Samuel chapter number 12? Actually, it happened in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Who's that? That's David. Who's David? He's probably the man that is most known as a person that has a heart for God. Who's David? The great victor over Goliath, David. And now David, he's at the later point in his ministry, he has a whole kingdom. He's got a palace. I mean, he's on Easy Street. I mean, everything's going well. And he's on his rooftop. And I've been there, by the way. I've been to Israel. I've been in David's palace, the ruins of it. I've been there. And every time I go to Israel, to David's palace, I take the people outside and I show them the wall. And I said, guys, we've got to guard what we see. We've got to guard our vantage points. Just because you can see it doesn't mean you should have it. Just because you see it doesn't mean you should have it. Doesn't mean, just because you can see it doesn't mean you should see it. So here's what David did. He saw, he wanted, he took, he hid. He saw, he wanted, he took, he hid. So what did Adam do? He saw, he wanted, he took, he hid. What did Achan do? He saw, he wanted, he took, he hid. What did David do? He saw, he wanted, he took, he hid. Now, that's what you do. That's what I do. That's what sinners do. Sinners see things that look good, that we want. And so what happens is we want something, that's where it starts, and then we see it, and then we act upon it, and then we feel guilty for it. That's the way that works. We see something that we want, and so we do it, we get what we want, and then we watch this, guys, and then we don't want what we got. Did you hear me? We get what we want. We see it. We do it. We go there. We say it. Whatever the sin is, we do it, and then we don't want. We immediately feel guilty. What do we do with that guilt? We hide it. Because I don't want anyone to know what I did. I don't want anyone to know what I saw. I don't want anyone to think that I do that. So I see, I want, I take, I hide. And I think that when I sweep my sin under that rug, I think that it'll go away, but it never does. It never does. And so how do I deal with it? We see the way it works. How does it work? I see, I want, I take, I hide. That's the way it works, okay? But why? Why do we hide? I'm going to give you two reasons. Why? Why do we hide sin? Why are there teenagers right now in this room that have hidden sin in their life? Now, I don't know if that's you, and it's not my job to judge you, and I'm not judging you. I'm not. This is between you and the Lord. But I've been at this thing for a long time. And so I know this to be true. I know that there are people in this room right now that have hidden sin in their life. I just know that to be true. Okay, so why? Why do we do that? I think the first reason we do that is because we intuitively want to do something with our guilt. Because when we sin, God has a built-in mechanism in your life called your conscience. And if you're saved, your relationship with God through His Holy Spirit, that immediately says that was wrong to do. And isn't it amazing how temptation will always advertise just how good this will feel, just how fun this will be? That's always it. But as soon as you've had the fun, as soon as you've tantalized the pleasure, immediately there's regret. Immediately there's guilt. And you got to do something with that. You got to do something with the residue of that sin. The residue of sin is guilt. I've got to put that somewhere. And so what we try to do is hide it. Yeah. So how do we hide sin? Well, a lot of times, this is the biggest problem we have right here. Going somewhere we shouldn't go. Seeing something we shouldn't see. Doing something we shouldn't do. Sometimes this is the biggest problem. So what do we do? Well, we're smarter in many cases than our parents. We know more about technology. We know more about, certainly about Snapchat. So we know more about TikTok. We know more about it than our parents do. And so what happens is we're better at hiding. They want to capture the camper, but we know good hiding places. We know how to set up fake accounts on Instagram where they think, oh, I look at my children's account. Look, it's fine. But they don't know about the other account. They don't know. So what happens is we come up with really good hiding places. Now, why are we hiding? We're hiding because we know we're doing wrong. I don't have to tell you that, because if it were right, you wouldn't have to hide it. You don't have to hide what's right. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what, when you do right, you don't hide it. When your room is clean, you leave the door open because you want people to see it's clean. The only time we shut our doors, the only time, it's like my mother. You know, my mother growing up, she was not a cleaner, but she was a straightener. So when guests would come. We'd be like, oh, guests are here, guests are here. We knew the drill. What that meant was take everything that's out cluttered and throw it in the closet. And don't let them go in the closet, right? And that's the way we live our lives. Mom, Dad are here. What do we do? Church time, what do? Put everything in the closet, but don't go in the closet. So we've come up with really good hiding places, but why do we hide? We hide because we know we're guilty. Okay? What's another reason we hide? Okay? Another reason we hide is because hiding temporarily solves the problem. Listen to me. Hiding temporarily solves the problem. When you erase your history file, you have temporarily solved the problem. Now, you've not erased it. You know that, right? You know that everything stays. You know that forensically, you can get everything off of this. You can get everything off that computer, off that iPad. You can get everything. You know that, okay? But you have the illusion that you have temporarily hid it. You have that illusion that you have, okay? And that's why we hide things, because in the short term, we do get away with it. In the short term, Adam and Eve found a really good hiding place. They thought they were safe. Even God doesn't know where we are. Where are you? See, God doesn't know where we are. God doesn't know where we are. Okay, Achan, he hid it. And what did Joshua do? Joshua said, okay, let's find out who did it. And he brought all the tribes before. And see, Achan's thinking, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. And finally, they bring the tribe that Achan's a member of. Oh, wow, he's getting close. Then he brings the family group. Then he brings the family. It's like, see, that's what God does. See, God knows whether or not you think he knows. But temporarily, we get away with it. David, he made sure that Uriah went to that hot spot in the battle. He made sure he got killed. He made sure that Bathsheba became his wife. I got away with it. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. That's the illusion of sin. The illusion of sin is temporarily, you get away with it. Temporarily, your hiding place works. And you're thinking, this is great. But no, it all comes crashing down. So what's the way we hide? I see, I take, I see, I want, I take, I hide. Why do we hide? We hide because we're guilty and we know we're guilty. Why do we hide? We hide because we think we can get away with it. Okay, now watch this lastly. You guys have listened really well. We saw the way we hide, the why of our hiding, but what do we do with hiding? What do we do? What's this message all about? You say, okay, Pastor Skelly, you told us about Adam, you told us about Achan, you told us about David, you told us about hiding, you told us about Bobby, okay? Maybe you're hiding. What do you do? What do you do with the hidden sin in your heart? Do you just try to forget about it? Just assume that, well, I didn't get caught, so what do you do with it? Because sin is like a cancer. You know, my dad died of pancreatic cancer when he was 56. I know that seems old to you, but that's younger than I am right now. My dad was younger than I am when he died. Think about that. And you know, if my dad had gone to the doctor early, if he had listened to what his body was telling him, like he wasn't hungry anymore, he was losing weight, he was feeling sick, things were happening, he was getting fevers, but he dismissed all of it. He dismissed it. He waited too long. And by the time they found it, it was fourth stage cancer and he died. See, the best time to deal with sin is early. Early detection. The best time to deal with sin is do it now. But if you let it go, here's a fancy word, ready? It'll metastasize. It'll spread. If you let sin go, it'll metastasize. It'll go to other areas of your life. It'll go to other vital organs in your spiritual makeup. It'll destroy you. So the best time to deal with it is now. So here are my three thoughts. Here are three takeaways. You've listened well. Here are my three takeaways. If you have hidden sin in your life, here are the three takeaways. Number one, admit it. Admit it. Say it out loud to God. Now, you don't have to say it out loud to me. I'm not asking you to confess your sins to me. Okay? But admit. You know what the word admit means in the Bible? Admit means to agree with God that your sin is as bad as he tells you it is. Can I just tell you this? God already knows. God already knows. How many of you have a little brother or sister? A younger, okay? Ray, keep your hand up if they're annoying. Okay, good. I didn't say raise it higher, okay? Yeah. Matter of fact, how about this? How many of you are the youngest in your family? Would you raise your hand? You're the youngest in your family. Keep your hand up. Everyone look around. These are the spoiled ones right here. Okay, put your hands up. How many of you are the oldest? Would you raise your hand? Okay, look around. Okay, these are the bossy ones right here. Those are the bossy ones. Okay, put your hands up. How many of you are a middle child? Okay, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. These are the normal ones right here. These are the normal ones. Okay, that's it. If you have a younger brother or sister, it's ridiculous how they try to hide things. Right? Did you have any cookies? No. As there's Oreos dripping from his teeth, you know, this comes around here. No, right? That's how ridiculous you look to God. We actually look at God and say, no. But he knows. Like, he's watching. I remember playing, anybody ever play paintball? Paintball? You play that? Is that a thing here? Yeah. Paintball, that, yeah, so it's a thing in the States. And it hurts, those paintballs, they hurt. So we played paintball at this old warehouse that my friend has a business, he owns this warehouse. So a bunch of guys went out, we had paintball guns, had masks on, had our ammo, it was amazing. And we went early, my friend Tom and I went early to this warehouse and we climbed up on this little spot in the roof, in the warehouse, with this little open spot. So here's this whole paintball course. Now, the way a paintball works is you have little barriers you can hide behind, and you run up, and you're trying to get to their side where there's a horn you sound. They're trying to get, it's like capture the flag. They're trying to get this side, and they're doing this whole thing. But Tom and I sneaked up on the roof, and we're looking down, so there's no barriers. We can see everybody. So the whole game, you know, people are hiding, you know, thinking they're safe, and we're there, boom, boom. You know, and we just pick people off one by one. See, that's the ridiculousness of trying to hide sin. Is here we are, ready? We're like this. Okay, he can't see me. I'm winning. And the place we forget to look, watch this, guys. The place we forget to look is, ready? Oh. That's what's happening with your sin right now. You got mom and dad fooled. You got your friends fooled. You got your pastor fooled. You got your youth pastor fooled. But you don't have him fooled. You know why? Because he's looking down. So admit it. Admit it means agree with God. Tell God, God, I agree. So what did God say to Adam? Adam, where are you? Do you think that God didn't know where Adam was? Like, do you think that God was like legitimately saying, Adam, I don't have any clue where you are. You've got a really good hiding place and all these fig leaves. I really can't find. Hey, Gabriel, Michael, could you guys get down here, please? I can't find Adam. No, God knew where Adam was. But ready for this? Adam didn't know where Adam was. See, what sin does is sin disorients us. You know, God knows where you are, but you don't know where you are when you're sinning. You think you're okay because you're in a safe hiding place, but you're not in a safe hiding place because he's looking down, right? So admit it. Number two, act now. Act now. Act now. What do you mean by that? That means do your repenting right now while you can. Because you know what I learned in each one of those stories? There's a shelf life. When you put it off too long, bad things happen. David put it off too long, bad consequences. Oh, God forgave him, bad consequences. Achan put it off so long, he lost his whole family and his own life. Why? Because he waited too long. Don't wait too long. If you have hidden sin in your life, then listen, now is the accepted time. Now is the day to get it right. Don't wait till tomorrow because you're going to lie to yourself. And the lie that you're going to tell yourself is you'll get right tomorrow, but you won't get right tomorrow. No, you'll just say, tomorrow, I'll get right tomorrow. And then you'll kick that can down the road and kick that can down the road until one day there'll be no more road. No, get right today. If there's hidden sin in your life, get it right. And get it right today. So admit it. Watch this. Act now. Number three, accept the consequences. Now don't think that it's not going to be hard. Mom, Dad, listen. I've got something to tell you. I've not been doing right on this thing. And I've confessed it to the Lord. I've gotten it right. But I want you to know. And you know what the consequence might be? All right, I'm taking your phone away for a season. Or I'm getting you on some new software or whatever. And here's what I'm saying. Accept that. Accept that. Accept the consequence. No, but I'll just admit it to God, and then He knows, and I'm right with Him, and my parents don't really need to. Listen, when you don't seek accountability after your sin, what you're actually saying is, I intend to revisit it. When you don't seek accountability, okay, you're leaving the back door open. When you leave the back door open, then you're planning to use it one day. Don't leave the back door open. If you're getting right about something in your life, tell God, act now, and then get accountability. Get somebody who loves you, who knows you, who will hold you accountable for some area that you're weak in, and let God help you come out of your hiding place. I hope that helps. Father, thanks for these teens. Thank you, Lord, for their kind attention. What a great, great group. And Lord, I pray that you would raise them up in these years to come. Some are grade 11, grade 12, just ready to head out into this world. And I pray that you bless them and help them and keep them and strengthen them. Lord, others are just right in the middle of their high school experience. I pray, God, that you would give them a courage to stand, to be transparent, to learn the fatal flaw of I see, I want, I take, I hide. And oh God, today may we learn not to hide. Please, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.